Amen. Amen. I appreciate the spirit here this morning. Always appreciate being around women who are on fire for God. I heard a message years ago from a man. I'm not necessarily in agreement with the doctrine of this, but he said this. He said, in the church, the woman is like the Holy Spirit of the church. Now, I know that's doctrinally not correct, but in a sense, the women set the spirit of a local church. And when you get women on fire for God, that church experiences revival. I believe that. I believe that. Yes, I agree, men are the leaders. But you get women on fire for God, there's a whole spirit of revival. A young son asked, "Is it true, Mom, that in some parts of Africa, a woman doesn't know her husband until she marries him?" Dad replied, "That happens in every country, son." And there was a woman who said, "You know, I never knew what real happiness was until I got married. And by then it was too late." Another said this, "If you want your spouse to listen and pay a strict attention to every word, you say, talk in your sleep." Now, a woman's prayer is this: "Dear Lord, I pray for wisdom to understand a man, to love and to forgive him, and for patience for his moods. Because, Lord, if I pray for strength, I'll just beat him to death." Oh, my. Now let's get serious. So how do you explain your marriage? That was a question that was posed to Dr. and Mrs. Howard Hendricks as they sat in the hot seat one Saturday afternoon with leadership in a local church several years ago. And in spite of their active and pressured life as seminary professor, I had him as one of my professors, conference speaker, church leaders, author, parents of four, in spite of their being mentors to scores of people, they had one of the neatest relationships I've ever seen, quite frankly. But slowly but deliberately, we called him Prof. Prof leaned to the microphone, and here's what he said. "Gene and I have two unconditional commitments. We are unconditionally committed to Christ as Lord. And we are unconditionally committed to each other." Amen? You can say amen, by the way. Everyone in the room sat silent. They sat speechless. And it's like, wow, that's it. Wow, that's simple. Wow, and insightful. Now, I think that's so close to the main priority of every relationship. We are unconditionally committed to Jesus Christ. Unconditionally. And unconditionally committed to each other. Let me explain that. Unconditionally means totally, unreservedly, completely, entirely, without any stipulations, without any unrealistic expectations, committed to Christ, committed to each other. And the word committed means we're dedicated, we're loyal, we're unswerving. When we talk about unconditionally committed to the Lord Jesus Christ, it means I often get the mental picture in my mind of the triangle. Now, I'm sure you've seen this. God at the top, husband or man here, and wife here. Closer they get to God, the closer to each other. There's got to be that unconditional commitment to Jesus Christ and unconditional commitment to each other. Now, I've been in a ministry, I would say, close to 50 years. I know I don't look that old, but... And I've counseled, I think, with hundreds of couples through the years. And I think this pretty well explains the goal of counseling, goal of our ministry, and husbands and wives and men and women, is to be unconditionally committed to Jesus Christ as master of our lives, to be submitted to the Lord Jesus Christ in every area, in the area of our heart, in the area of our minds, in the area of our inner man, the area of our relationships, thought life, motives, and to be unconditionally committed to each other. No conditions. No unrealistic expectations. In fact, no expectations, but only to the Lord Jesus Christ. I think this brings me to the real core of what I want to talk to you about. Expectations. Say that word. Expectations. Let's say it again. Expectations. The first part of the message I'm going to give you is going to be full of illustrations. And then we're going to dive deep into the Word and see what God's Word says. What do we mean, expectations? Well, an expectation is something that I assume or something that I presume. Expectations are things that you expect from another. Expectations in God, which are good expectations. Or you may have expectations in another person, a mate, a coworker, a friend, someone in church. In essence, if you have expectations in all these people, in many aspects, your relationships are conditional. If you do this for me, then I'll be happy. I expect you to treat me this way. And then if you do that, I will love you. I will let you if you do this. And so our relationships are often full of expectations. Here's what we mean. This principle of expectations affects every venue of our lives. At home. Oh, I expect my husband to do this. I expect him to act this way. I expect him to treat me in such a way. Oh, and I expect my children. Then at work, I expect to be treated right. I expect to be treated fairly. I expect to be treated honestly. At church, I expect the pastor to do this. I expect my coworkers to do this. In the neighborhood, I expect my neighbors to keep their dog quiet all night. If not, I will shoot that dog. I expect my neighbors not to park on the grass, our grass. I expect my neighbors not to honk their horn at 2 a.m. That's an expectation. Now, how about our marriage? When you enter marriage, your marriage is begun with several expectations. And by the way, your mate has several expectations for you. Now, let me give you a couple statements that I want you to really chew on. Here's one, and I'm going to reword it a little bit. All issues of miscommunication are the result of unfulfilled expectations. All issues of miscommunication are the result of unfulfilled expectations. I have an issue with you because you said something that's really dumb. Now, let me explain. Assuming negative of another person because they didn't say it right. It's an issue of miscommunication. They failed to communicate accurately. Now, here's the next statement. All fights, or you may want to call them religious discussions, right? All fights are the result of unfulfilled expectations. Now, you talk about it. I've heard that the greatest fight of young marriage has to do with two things. Number one, finances. And number two, the toothpaste. I like it crinkled. No, I like to squeeze it a little at a time. Or you have expectations that are unfulfilled as far as relational. You're not treating me the way I feel I should be treated. You didn't call me when you got to work. You didn't call me when you went to lunch. You didn't call me when you headed home from work. I tried to call you, but you never answer. What's that expectation? I text you and you never reply. What's the expectation? You aren't meeting my needs. I'm so alone. I'm so lonely. What's the expectation there? You go to bed before me. That's 11 o'clock at night. You get up before me. That's 4:30 in the morning. And you're gone all day to work. What's your expectation? I'm stuck with a crying baby and my unruly children all day long. And you come home. And immediately, what do you do? Well, you check out. You turn the TV on. You take a nap. You get on your stupid computer. And you start looking at all your emails. And who knows what else you're looking at. Amen? Amen or oh me? I see shaking heads. What's the expectation there? You know, the kitchen sink has been leaking for 3 days now. I mean, what do you want me to do? Use the bathroom sink? The toilet has come undone. What do you want me to do? The lawn has weeds. The grass needs mowed. Look at all the weeds in the lawn. And the garage, your garage, is so messy. And look at all those piles you have. Maybe you could help me with the dishes. What's the expectation? Do you think you could pick up your socks and underwear? We got 5 days worth on the floor. I take your socks, I throw them against the wall, and they stick. Do you think you could hang your stupid coat up instead of leaving it out? What's the expectation? Hey, who's supposed to shovel the snow around here? I wish I could take off for a week and go with my buddies like you, hunting and fishing. And I demand equal time. What's the expectation? You know what? Our son has a basketball game tonight. It's Tuesday night. Don't you think you can get away from your work, your computer, or your phone and go to his game? Hey, you're at the game now. Why are you checking your texts all during the game? Why can't you go to our grandchildren's birthday party? So what? We have 15 grandkids. Why am I the only one who has to get up with a baby at night? Why am I the only one who has to change his diapers and rock him back to sleep? Can't you do that too? What's the expectation? Now you have a day off. Why can't you spend it with me all day? Go grocery shopping? Why can't you take me out for dinner on your day off? Why can't you run errands? Hey, you're getting so fat. Why don't you join a club? And why don't you start working out? I mean, you're gonna die young and stick me with everything. And since you're going to die young, we have life insurance? Huh? I expect you to support me. You support me when we get home. I tell the kids that Daddy, when he gets home, is going to spank you. Oh, I expect you to understand me during that time of the month. How long's that time? About 2 weeks. I expect you during those 2 weeks, don't talk back to me. Don't rebuke me. Be nice to me. Now, here's the other side of the story. Cecil, your husband, he's at work. His boss has requested that no one text and no one do personal emails at work. In fact, he told his employees, leave your phone out in the car, your smartphone. And during the day, he's saying, oh, I miss my wife. I miss my family. I can't wait to get home to see them. He gets into the car. He texts his wife. He says, I love you. Can't wait to be home. No reply. He calls. No reply. Wonder something's wrong. Oh, no. Hope she's okay. Hope the kids are okay. He gets home. He walks in the door. The baby's crying. The little ones shout, "Daddy's home! Daddy's home!" The older kids duck out. They go into their room. "Where's Mama? Where's my wife, kids? Oh, I can't wait to see her. Oh, there she is. There she is. The love of my life. Hey, sweetheart." Now she's at the stove. Her hair's messed up. She's been crying all day. He gives her a hug. She kind of slams him against the wall. "What's wrong, baby? You okay? You never returned my phone calls today. You never replied to any of my texts." "Well, let me check. Oh, yeah, I got 50 texts from you." "I could have fallen down or been hit by a car and rushed to the ER, and you wouldn't return any of my texts or emails or calls. And look at all those piles of junk on your floor and all the, you know, listen to this. And oh, by the way, your socks, your underwear, and oh, by the way, they're probably infested with maggots. And the garage and the yard. And what's wrong with you? Are you into porno? Maybe you have a girlfriend. That's why you didn't text me. You don't even talk to me. Yikes. Oh, and you forgot to send your mother a birthday card. Oh, and you haven't let me know you invited the Harris family over for dinner next month. Are you going to make dinner? Are you going to do it? Are you going to clean a house? I mean, they have a terrorist child that broke my favorite glass last time there at the house. Oh, and by the way, when you get home, you're supposed to spank the kids. And that's why your kids ducked out when you walked in the door. Oh, my. I think it's like the little puppy who sees a hole in the hedge in the backyard and ventures out the backyard through the little hole into the forest, immediately confronted by a mean neighborhood dog and takes a bite out of its ear, and he runs, and a bear chases him and leaves his claw prints on his rear end. He's bleeding, and he comes to a busy road, and he's never seen this before, and he goes out, and cars come by, and then he's hit by a car. I think it's real bad. He broke his leg. He decides he better limp home to safety and the love of his master. So he hobbles home, all bloodied and chewed on. And he makes it through that hole in the hedge. Oh, finally, he goes up to the house, and his master meets him with a bat, a ball bat, for leaving the property. One husband said to his wife, "Honey, I want you to do something." "What's that? What do you want me to do, sweetheart?" "When I walk in the door, I'll bend over. I just want you to give me a kick in the rear. Just kick me hard." "Really? Yeah, let's practice. Just do it. Bend over." Boom! "Oh, thank you. Why'd you want me to do that?" "Because that's what you do to me every time I walk in the door from work." So what about all this? Expectations. Say that word. Expectations. Let's say it again. Expectations. Again. Expectations. He didn't meet my expectations, so I am going to retaliate. I will get angry. I will get depressed. I am going to make him feel guilt and shame. He must pay. Or maybe you're a single girl. We had a single girl in our church. She was a nurse. She met a great guy, Fred. They courted. They dated. Man, I thought, this is a good thing. Look at them. I mean, he was in residency. Of course, you know, in residency, you've got to do all the late hours and the grunt work that the other doctors don't do. And you got to be there all night. You don't get a lot of sleep. And so she would show up for church all puffy-eyed, face swollen. "What's the matter? He didn't call me this week every day. He knows he's supposed to call me. He didn't." And so when he would come to church, he couldn't wait to see her. He'd sit by her, and she'd pout. I'd say to Karen, my wife, I'd say, "She's not going to be long. before he sees through this. And so what happened one day, he came to her and said, well, you know what? I think we ought to put our relationship on hold for a while. Let's pray about it. Let's just make sure God, here's the favorite. Let's make sure God purifies our motives. And that was it. By the way, maybe that's why your husband, doesn't want a thing to do with church or with God or with you. And maybe that's why he's found someone at work that treats him like a man, a hero, and a friend. My wife and I have two unconditional commitments. We are unconditionally committed to Christ as Lord. We are unconditionally committed to each other. You know, this idea of expectations is found throughout the Bible. Expectations from people, real expectations, unreal. Expectations that are felt expectations, not verbalized. You take one look at a person's face and spirit, you can sense their expectations. You have in the Scripture expectations from God, things you expect from God, real expectations. And some people place unreal expectations of God, therefore they're bitter. And there are things that God expects from you. Now let's look at some very foundational biblical truth. Number one, did you know that God has your best interests at heart? Jeremiah 29:11. I know the thoughts that I think towards you, said the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an unexpected, to give you an expected end. So you know, when God thinks of us, his thoughts go something like this. I have a will for you. When I think of you, there are thoughts of peace, not of evil. I want to give you a future and a hope, an expected end. So God has your best interests at heart. Number two, your spiritual desires will be met. Proverbs 23:18. For surely there is an end, and thine expectation shall not be cut off. There's an end. There's a final day of judgment coming for them. And God says, and thine expectations shall not be cut off. Your hopes, your promises of reward, your promises of blessings will not be severed. They will come to fruition. They will bear fruit. Proverbs 24:14. So shall the knowledge of wisdom be unto thy soul. When thou hast found it, there shall be a reward, and thy expectations shall not be cut off. Your spiritual desires will be met by God. That's an expectation. Number three, we must learn to yield. And I think this is big. Learn to yield our expectations to God. I think that's a key in the whole thing here. God wants all our expectations of our husband, of co-workers, of others to be yielded to him. I want you to turn to a passage. I'm going to teach you a song. Turn to Psalm 62. My wife actually came to the breakfast table one day. She says, you know, in my devotions this morning, God gave me a song. And I want to teach it to you. Psalm 62. Now, let me explain the passage first. Psalm 62, verse 1. It's a psalm of David. He says, truly, my soul waiteth upon God. From him cometh my salvation. My soul waiteth upon God. That means my soul is silent and still. And to wait upon God means to stay or rest in expectations. It means to stop. It means to be to remain stationary. It means till the arrival of God doing something. It's truly my soul waiteth upon God. Look at verse 2. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be greatly moved. So you see three workings of God here. He is my rock. That means he is the one that provides solidarity for me. And my salvation. He's the one that gives me victory and freedom and prosperity. And he is my defense. He's my stronghold. He's my place of refuge. Now look at verse 5. My soul, wait thou only for God, upon God, for my expectation is upon God, is from him. The idea is it's imperative that I learn to be still and stay and rest, and my expectation is upon God. It's my expectation is from him. The thought there, my hope is upon God. I realize that God is the one that can help me. I cannot rely on my husband or my friends or my church or myself. My reliance must be on God. God alone can help me. He's the only one that can deliver me. And the thought is, wait thou only upon God. He's the only one that can help me. I must totally yield my life and give up myself and give myself into his hands. I must learn to simply be subject to him. I must learn to shut up and be in silence before God. Look at verse 6. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be moved. Same as verse 2. I shall not be moved. It's like I ain't going anywhere. God says, I'm not going to budge. I'll stick with it. I'll be faithful. Because of who God is, I'll be solid. Notice my view of God dictates my view of life, my view of my husband, my view of my friends. How I view God will determine how consistent I am in my walk. Go to verse 8. Trust in him at all times. You people, pour out your heart before God. God is a refuge for us. The thought is trust in him at all times. Have confidence upon God at all times. Be bold in God at all times. Be secure in God at all times. And then he says, pour out your heart before him. Give a full expression of my heart and my feelings before the Lord. Let your heart flow out before the Lord. Let him hear everything from you. Fully, totally express yourself to the Lord. Now, you want to learn the song. Here's how it goes. I'm afraid if I sing, Brother Wagner's going to want me to sing before every session. So I have to be careful. I'm scheduled for the men's prayer advance. You're probably just going to want to schedule me to sing, brother. It's okay. It's all good. Here's how it goes. That's how it goes. All right. It goes like this. My soul, wait thou only upon God. For my expectation is from him. He only is my rock and my salvation. Let's try it. My soul, wait thou only upon God. For my expectation is from him. He only is my rock and my salvation. Let me sing the next. My soul, wait thou only upon God, for he is my defense. I shall not be moved, for he is my defense. Let's sing that. My soul, wait thou only upon God, for he is my defense. I shall not be moved, for he is my defense. Now let's go down. In God is my salvation and my glory, the rock of my strength, and my refuge is in God. My refuge is in God. Let's try that. In God is my salvation and my glory, the rock of my strength, and my refuge is in God. My refuge is in God. Follow the scripture. Trust in him at all times, ye people, pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us. God is a refuge for us. Now let's do the whole thing. Ready? My soul, wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is from Him. He only is my rock and my salvation. My soul, wait thou only upon God, for He is my defense. I shall not be moved, for He is my defense, my salvation. In God is my salvation, and Thy glory, the rock of my strength and my refuge. And my refuge is in God. My refuge is in God. Trust in Him. Trust. Ye people, pour out your heart before Him. God is a refuge for us. God is a refuge for us. So what's that passage teaching us? Here's what it teaches. I must learn to yield my expectations to God. I must learn to wait only upon God. I must learn to let God be my refuge. I must learn to release others from unrealistic expectations. I don't expect to hear from my husband today. I've yielded that expectation to God. I don't expect him to stay awake during my late night conversations with him. He keeps falling asleep. I don't expect that. I don't expect him to come home and immediately spank the kids and vacuum the house and do the dishes and then go out and work out while all the time spending all the time with the family. I don't expect that. I'm yielding that to God. I don't expect him to remember my birthday, to remember our anniversary date, to remember how many years and months and days and hours and minutes we've been married. I don't expect that anymore. So when he does call me, amen? When he does text me, when he does answer my phone call, when he does pick up his socks and underwear, when he does clean the garage, when he does mow the lawn, when he does love the children, when he does go to their games, when he does work out, I am grateful. Why? Because my expectations are upon God, not upon him. And so when he does one of those things, I'm grateful to the Lord. Does that make sense? Say amen if it does. I didn't expect any of those things. And so he did them. Wow. So when my husband comes home and hugs me, there's unconditional love for him, and it's felt. I don't meet him with a verbal and emotional ball bat. Now, number four. Let's get practical. I got 10 minutes. Learn to talk through your realistic expectations with your mate. Learn to talk through your realistic expectations. What do you expect from your mate? Talk it through. Well, I expect him to be pure. I expect him to be faithful. Here's what I suggest you do. Just a suggestion. Sweetheart, I need to meet with you sometime. I want to discuss some things with you. Don't tell him what it is. There's a mystique there. He's going to be thinking all day, what she want to talk about? Oh, no, what is it? Can I meet with you? What's it about? Well, I'll tell you later. I've just got to talk to you. Something very serious, something very important. So when you meet, have a piece of paper. Assure him that your desire is to be the best wife and help me to him that you can be before God. Make it a big thing. Pray about it. Maybe fix a nice meal for him. Have a piece of paper there or an iPad or a computer and ask him this question. Sweetheart, what kind of things do you expect from me? By the way, No rolling of the eyes or huffing. You can, as NRE, no rolling eyes, right there, NRE. Simply write them down. Oh, fix your meal. Change diapers. Here's what I expect from you. Sweetheart, while I'm gone at work, take care of the household. Clean the house. And don't nag me. Quit pouting. Make our home life joyful. I want to look forward to you, to coming home to you. I don't want to meet a ball bat emotionally. Or maybe you work full-time as well. Well, you write down these expectations. Number five, learn to talk through these expectations with God. I mean, he talks about praying without ceasing. Well, let God hear you. Learn to cry out to God. We mentioned that yesterday. The idea there in Scripture, David used it, is croak, a scream, a shriek before God. Let it be before God alone. I mean, Philippians 4:6, be careful, be anxious, don't worry. Be careful about for nothing, for in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. And what's going to happen? The peace of God, which passes all understanding. Your husband's going to come home and say, what's wrong with you? What do you mean? Well, there's peace. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Now, number six, let God's word give you direction. Let God's word give you strength. Learn that you can't do it, but he can. Learn that God will give you strength. Learn to yield your expectations to God. Learn that he gives direction and strength through his word. 2 Corinthians 9:8, God is able to make all grace abound towards you. Grace speaking of power. Psalm 31, verse 24, be of good courage. He shall strengthen your heart. All ye that hope in the Lord. Ephesians 3, 16 through 19, as we heard last night. Psalm 119, verse 28, my soul melteth for heaviness. Strengthen thou me according to thy word. Verse 30, I have chosen the way of truth. Thy judgments I laid before me. I have stuck with thy testimonies, O Lord. Put me not to shame. I will run the way of thy commandments when thou shalt enlarge my heart. You know, let me make a statement. Do you know the Christian life is not hard? It's impossible. It must be lived in the Spirit. We cannot live the Christian life without the fullness of the Holy Spirit. There will be times of frustration. There will be times of grief. There will be times in our Christian lives where we feel we can't do it. We're lonely. And no one seems to care. And no one seems to understand. One of my heroes in the faith said this to me. He says, you know what? There are times when I know what is right and I still do what's wrong. I feel like such a wretch. You recognize that? Who was that? That's Paul. You don't need to turn to it, but let me just tell you what Paul said. He said, then it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I know that in my flesh that's I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. For the good that I would I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. So I know I need to yield my expectations to God. I know I need to put myself up on the altar. But my husband sometimes can be such a jerk. Get back up on the altar. He says, now, if I do that I would not, it's no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find in a law, here's a principle of life, that when I would do good, evil is present with me. Isn't that true? Man, I come out of this ladies' prayer advance, you say, with such great, high, lofty goals. And I want to do right, but I find that I have a sinful nature. Then he says, for I delight in the law of God after the inward man. So before you meet, here it is. Write down your expectations. Yield those expectations to God. Ask if you can pray together. In that meeting, be honest, be realistic. Write down your expectations. Write them down or type them. And what you each expect of the other. And then number two, exchange your written answers and look through to see if you are fulfilling any of his expectations, if you're meeting any of his expectations from you. And third of all, clarify, explain your marriage expectations to each other. Are these marriage expectations realistic? So, sweetheart, there's some expectations I have of you. Here's what some things you should expect, but you bring these before God. I expect you to be morally pure. Don't flirt. Don't go out with women. Don't feed your mind on immoral things. That's a biblical expectation. Stay away from alcohol, pornography, addictions. Be faithful to me. Help out with the things in the home. Let your children, your wife, be your first priority. These are all biblical expectations. Be faithful to the house of God, church. Let's not just go on Sunday mornings. Let's go Sunday nights. Let's go Wednesday nights. Be faithful in tithing. Work out. At least go for walks. If he's a Christian, challenge him to be a spiritual leader. Be in the Word. Tithe. And during the time of the month, just a suggestion. Here's what I used to do with Karen. After about 5 years of messing up, she could tell you some stories. I mean, one of the stories is I was right in the midst of PMS. I would in the kitchen say, we are one in the Spirit. We are one. And I say, you need to be Spirit-filled, woman. That didn't work. I just want to tell you right now, it didn't work. I did learn that at that time, I would say, sweetheart, come on. I'd go into the couch in our living room. I said, lay down, lay on my lap, and I'd stroke her hair. I'd stroke her hair. And I would not speak loud. Just say it. I'm just saying. Here's some suggestions I have of you. Have a good spirit. Don't make me a prisoner of your expectations. Number four, discuss how you feel when your spouse meets any of these expectations. You know, I'm so excited when I find out that you're pure and I know that you love the Lord. You love me. You love the family. You love God. Oh, sweetheart, that makes me feel so excited. Number five, discuss how you can both come to a compromise on how to meet each other's marriage expectations. Okay, I'll yield that. That's not really a biblical expectations, and so I give it up. If you don't want me to go hunting for 2 weeks every other month, I'll yield that to the Lord. For me, okay, sweetheart, if you want me to sell my Harley, that was big. That's big. You know, with the back surgeries I've had. So this last week, knowing I'm going to preach on expectations today, no, not really. I waxed and shined that Harley. I've got it up for sale. That's an expectation she has of me, not to ride that anymore with my back situation. And I've yielded that to the Lord. I've given in. Now, number six, live it. Number seven, pray together. Purpose to daily live out these expectations. And remember this. Here we are. Say it out loud with me. We'll put it up before you. Here it is. We are unconditionally committed to Christ as Lord. We are unconditionally committed to each other. Father, you are so good to us. Help us to yield all our expectations to you. Help us, Lord, to learn to walk in the Spirit the times when we're lonely. The times when we hurt inside. The times when our husbands or friends are not meeting up to these expectations. And dear God, help us to yield these to you so that there's a peace which passes all understanding.